The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar.
We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter Brian Berga. And you're listening to us on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. Follow us on all our social media platforms at High Spot Podcast. Trendsetter, so much to talk about. We've got great guests. We've got Solo Darling that will join us. Great times at Pro Wrestling Magic this past Saturday, as well as the Moody Barber returns. And we're talking Cobra Kai. You're the best around. Trendsetter, what's going on, my man?
Oh, man, I'm so excited. I mean, feel these nipples, Jeff. I am so excited. But Rock Hard can cut a piece of mirror right now.
Maybe cut through ice blocks, like in Karate Kid Part 2.
Maybe. I'm not built like Daniel LaRusso. I'm a little bit less built like him. But no, I'm so excited, man, because, you know, we say it week to week. It gets boring after a while, but it's true. So much stuff's going on right now, not just in the world of professional wrestling, but in our lives as well, stuff that we're trying to do, get off the ground. So it's just exciting to see the momentum swinging in favor of us. Thanking the crew, obviously, of listening to the show. Guys, none of this would be possible without you guys supporting the show, liking us on our YouTube channel, listening to our show, which you guys can listen to on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, leave a review, leave a 5-star rating. It only takes a few seconds. And you can listen to the show, Jeff, also on SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean.
And, of course, you can also listen to us on the Shining Wizards Network and B-Plus Player Radio Network as well. And also, you can catch our YouTube channel. There we have great interviews from WrestleCon and from WrestleMania weekend. We got new interviews coming up, too. That Solo Darling episode will be on YouTube as well, so check out for it this week. Trendsetter, WWE is making news, and not for what you're seeing on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live, although, you know, we could get into that, but we're going to talk Cobra Kai later on. Money in the Bank is still a few weeks away, so we're going to give you a little bit of a fun episode here today, but you got to talk about...
Yeah, there's still qualifiers going on, so we'll have a better idea as the weeks go by in terms of what the final card will be for Money in the Bank.
Yeah, so what we're going to talk about is the WWE and the huge monster deal that they have, I guess, either finalized or will be finalizing with Fox that will bring SmackDown Live to the Fox Network starting October 2019. It is for about an estimated $1 billion for 5 years. So you break that down, it's probably about $250 million each year, which is a huge, huge increase for that. And of course, NBC Universal will most likely pay 3 times the amount for Monday Night Raw and will keep it on USA Network. That still has to be finalized too. But it all looks like SmackDown Live will be on Fox. And, you know, talk about, first of all, just the news that broke. Talk about that NBC Universal decided not to bid on SmackDown so that maybe it would sweeten up the deal where maybe they could get more money from another network for SmackDown Live, when in fact NBC Universal USA knows that right now Monday Night Raw is the show.
Yeah, it's the show, but something you and I talked about, I think maybe 3 or 4 weeks prior, the likelihood was that, you know, the deal with Fox and the UFC wasn't working out. They were going to move somewhere else. ESPN was going to start carrying them, and, you know, it put all the cards and all the money in WWE's hands right now. Well, theoretically, the money was in Fox's hands to give to WWE, but it was basically WWE's decision how many zeros they wanted on that final deal. Is it finalized yet? We're still figuring that out, but it seems to be that's the direction they're going to go. mean, can the WWE make any more money? Is it possible? And it is. But what I initially thought of it was, wow, this is going to be interesting now, because as much as it might be beneficial for fans to watch SmackDown Live and Raw on the USA networks, they're trying so hard with this brand split, the superstar shakeup that you and I have gone back and forth about how it just doesn't feel like it works. There's just a lack of commitment or believability, basically. Now, that likelihood is now increased tenfold for the fact that now, because they're on separate networks, there can be now that ability where there is competition amongst the same company, because SmackDown Live now would be its own separate entity on a different network that most likely will want to probably make it a 3-hour show rather than a 2-hour show. So that'll be another evolution. I think it might move to Fridays rather than Tuesdays. So just, hey, kudos to the WWE, man. And it's amazing now. It's going to finally put that feeling, for me at least, as a fan. Can now this really work? Can you now be your own competition, which they've been trying for so many years? I think this right now is a great indication that Fox, for example, and hopefully they don't change the theme song to that stupid song. Yeah, that'd be terrible. But,
anyways.
You know, they are in a situation where, you know, the price had to be right, and WWE just took advantage of it right now. So smart move by Fox, even smarter move by WWE positioning themselves in this way.
Well, you said a separate entity, right? But do you think Fox would pay what they're paying for? I know to us wrestling fans, AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura and Samoa Joe and Daniel Bryan and so on and so on. But do you think when Fox invests so much money like this, A, do you think the show could ever be taped? Because, you know, it used to be taped, and they would be taped on Tuesdays, and then they would show it on Thursday nights. Do you think Fox would ever pay for something that's taped? And B, do you think Fox wants to pay, but they're paying because, you know what, this could signal the end of the brand split? Because to me, I believe that Fox would not pay all this money that they're paying for just those wrestlers that are on the SmackDown roster. I believe that it could, you know, signal the end of the brand split. Because think about this, Ronda Rousey's on Raw. If you're Fox and you see, you know, that Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar are on Raw, why wouldn't you be like, well, I'm paying you this, and if I'm paying you this, Vince McMahon is going to do what they say, and I'm pretty sure
Not necessarily. If they're willing to pay a certain amount for WWE, it's whatever Vince is willing to offer them is the amount they're willing to pay for.
But once the money is paid, then I believe that Fox is a network, and they, because technically they will be the boss. So if they want Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar, then they're going to get Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar on SmackDown.
Yeah, I mean that's a possibility. I just don't see it. I think they've been trying so hard, especially WWE, to create two separate brands, competition amongst themselves. That, yeah, I mean, we talked about how the roster of SmackDown Live does not compare anything to the roster of Raw. If you're NBC Universal, you understand why they didn't go for SmackDown Live. They wanted to stay with Raw. It's the A show. It's been there the longest. It has that feeling that everybody wants to see Monday Night Raw. SmackDown, it goes from Tuesdays, Thursdays, Wednesdays, Fridays, you know, whatever. But no, I agree with you. That's a possibility. But I think right now, initially, the idea is going to keep it a separate brand as much as it is. And maybe it's going to open the door.
It's 2019, though, so it's still a ways away. But again, I think what you're trying to say, yes, Vince has the final say. But at the end of the day, though, NBC wanted 3 hours. And what did Vince do? Gave him 3 hours. So at the end of the day, who's ever paying his checks is going to get the final say. So yes, you can say Vince is the boss of WWE. When it comes to the network, and we talked about how the network, everyone talks about the network controls this, the network says that, and this. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, if they want Brock and Ronda, I'm pretty sure Vince will say that's the end of the brand split, and that's what we'll do.
I don't know how business works. My thing is, if you're paying for a certain service, I mean, heaven forbid, right, Jeff? You pay for a service, you expect to get what you want out of it. Yeah. But here's the thing. If your service is, this is what we're offering you for a service, you're willing to pay this amount, all right, this is what we're offering you. The ability to ask for more and stuff like that, of course, it could be a possibility. But I think for right now in 2019, a lot can change from this point to October of 2019. Yeah, that's a possibility. I just think they want to keep it separate. And I think it will open the door now for maybe, hopefully, you know, SmackDown Live or the writers creative trying to take other chances outside of what's the normal, what's the balance of what you see on Raw and what you see in SmackDown are basically similarly the same, except just different rosters.
We will agree to disagree, and again, that's what's going to be so interesting, because it is 2019 in October, so a lot can change, and again, is it final? All reports look like it is final, so you'll see what happens. Now, the big question is, will NBC Universal, which, you know, is the USA Network, which owns the USA Network, mm-hmm. will they be able to retain Monday Night Raw? Because there's rumors saying that Vince might want to keep both shows on the same as far as network, but we'll see what happens, man. But I think right now where it's at, talk about the boom in wrestling. It is huge right now. Wrestling is prospering. We're all prospering. And we talk about All In, which, again, we're happy to be a part of. And, again, guys, if you didn't miss a huge announcement last week, and we definitely will be implementing that in your minds heading into Labor Day weekend, we are All In. And we'll be on podcast show on Saturday, Labor Day weekend, a four-day event, you know, which is going to change independent wrestling history, we believe, with an awesome event, All In, in Chicago. We will be there. So definitely, more details to come for all you listeners to the High Spot Podcast. But I think it's a huge boom for wrestling right now, Trendsetter. I think right now everyone can have a piece of that pie, you know. And like we said before, we want just a little bit of piece. We want a taste of that pie. And I think that it's doable with the state of professional wrestling because I think it's stronger than it's ever been.
I would agree with that. Yeah, it's stronger than it's ever been. This whole boom in wrestling, yeah. I mean, we focused in the last, I think, month and a half on the independent scene, really. We've talked about promotions, whether it be Ring of Honor, whether it be Lucha Underground, which had Marty on. We'll have Marty on again pretty soon. All the events we've covered on the northeastern side, and especially with All In now. It's cool. But I think, you know, WWE is also in that same momentum swing too, where now that they're going to be moving one of their programming features, which is SmackDown Live, onto Fox, it just gives more fans other options to choose from, especially on networks, whether it be YouTube now, whether it be on streaming, just so many other abilities. And I didn't even mention Impact, too, in the steps that Impact's making right now with the huge signings and, you know, Tessa Blanchard now being part of Impact and that women's division building itself up even more and that talent roster working itself up to from the shadows and the ashes of what TNA once was. It's a great time to be, I feel, not only a fan, but also if you're in the business, too, it's exciting to be in the business because now you have other options and avenues to go to.
And definitely wrestling is becoming mainstream, especially the move to Fox. You're going to see, imagine listening to Joe Buck during an MLB game promote WWE. How great is that going to be to listen to?
Oh, Joe man, Buck? That's going to be comedic. That's going to be...
or Colin Coward having to promote or
wasn't that SmackDown Live as AJ Styles defends the WWE Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura?
How crazy is that going to be?
It's going
to
be cool.
It is an awesome time to be a wrestling fan, especially too, again, on the independents and course with All In. It's going to be just awesome summer for the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Rumors about now that the pay-per-views now are going to be now 4 hours, and that the major pay-per-views like the Big Five now, which Money in the Bank has become the Big Five, could go all the way up.
Has it become the Big Five?
It is.
To me, it was always Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and WrestleMania.
Yeah, there's the Big Four. But now what they're doing is trying to make the Big Five because they're trying to make Money in the Bank a destination because now they're doing travel packages for Money in the Bank.
Really? Okay, so that, wow.
You have the NXT Chicago on the Saturday, and you have the Money in the Bank on Sunday. So now it's the Big Five. Money in the Bank is the Big Five now. And what do you think about the pay-per-views? Do you think it's great to be a wrestling fan, but do you think it's oversaturation as part of, as you know, WWE starts, you know, increasing the amount of pay-per-views as far as lengthwise?
I think that's the sad truth of the whole scenario where, like, there are so many options out there. It can be oversaturated. I use a perfect example when I use the analogy that, you know, it's like Baskin-Robbins. You want to try all 31 flavors, right? Sometimes there'll be now 40, 50 flavors. And you're like, oh, my goodness, how many versions of mango can there be? How many versions of vanilla can you really have? How many versions of chocolate or strawberry? It just becomes a little bit too much sometimes. And you're right. For maybe the general audience member, the fan, it might become a little bit more like, well, I don't understand what's going on here, so I'm not going to watch. The die hardcore, it might be they're going to stick to whatever they want to stick to. But no, you're right. It can't be oversaturated. But I think right now they're just trying to, you know, the snowball's is rolling downhill right now, and everybody's trying to just gain some of that momentum with them. So, yeah, I see where you're talking about with that. But I just think it's the nature of the business right now, at least.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Here's the truth about why wrestling is such a great get for networks is because it's guaranteed at least 2 or 3 hours, right, daily. It has a beginning and an end to each show. And it's like a novel, and people right now, that's what they want. They want something where, you know, you talk about the UFC's popularity.
Yeah.
UFC can end in 10 seconds. WWE is guaranteed to at least be, you know, either under 3 hours or a little over 3 hours, and you know you're going to come get your money's worth. You're going to get a winner or a loser, or there's going to be a storyline thrown in there, a monkey wrench that goes into the next, you know, set of, you know, events. But you know you're going to get what you paid for. You may not want like the result, but you're going to get an ending. Or you're going to get something, yeah. right? So I think that's why right now there's a big push to get programming like WWE. And that's why I think Fox bent over backwards to do this, because I think that they see with – I don't know if they've lost UFC completely. They might do something where they share stuff with ESPN. Yeah. But still, though, that programming is what they need to have live entertainment for 2-3 hours. It's such a hot commodity right now, so – it's going
to
be interesting.
I think just to add real quick on your argument, your statement you made about oversaturation, I think, yeah, in terms of like all these events and then, you know, making Money in the Bank part of the now the big five rather than the big four of the pay-per-views that we enjoyed watching, I don't know in terms of, you know, the diehard core wrestling fan of me would be like, yes, let's do a four-hour show. You can showcase everybody. There'd be so much more time for people to showcase their talents, but it hasn't really worked itself out. In terms that, you know, do you have that ability, or do you have the appropriate, in my opinion, talent on your roster to be able to do that consecutively every other month, every other 4 weeks where you're doing a four-hour show? Because at some point, it's like, for example, when we talk about 3 hours of Raw, initially on paper it sounds good, and it's really difficult to produce, which a lot of people have mentioned, like Triple H and Stephanie and stuff like that. But, you know, you think you have time to showcase more talent. We watch Raw now and SmackDown. Something we're like, geez, like you wasted 30 minutes on that when you could have tried to do something else. Yeah. Hindsight 2020. But I'm more concerned about increasing those events to 4 hours, because some people are just sitting for a 4 hour event.
It usually starts at 8, right?
Yeah.
And it goes to 11:15. But now it's supposedly going to start at 7 and end at 11 or so. So
yeah, but still, that's a lot. That's a lot for to entice people to sit down.
On a Sunday.
Exactly.
You know? It's tough, man. It's tough. And again, also, too, where does the network now fall? Because will that be a priority for WWE now? Because now they're making so much money with both deals on TV. Will the network become something where, okay, it's on the back burner a little bit. So lots of stuff to still figure out with the WWE. But, you know, talking about the momentum swing in independent wrestling, we were at Pro Wrestling Magic this past Saturday for All the Glory. And it was a Casamento Cup tournament and finals, which crowned a winner, the fourth annual one. And Catred, congratulations to her for becoming the fourth annual winner of the Casamento Cup. But someone that we've always wanted to see perform live is Solo Darling, and she is just amazing. She wrestled 3 matches, came up short in the finals to Catred, and we had a chance to speak to her. Of course, Solo Darling, if you YouTube her, she does a lot of matches for Chikara, and she does a lot of also intergenerational wrestling and tag team with her tag team partner, Travis Huckabee. But she was able to give us a few minutes and talk about not only her matches that night, but also the state of women's wrestling and who exactly would be her dream match. And we also got to play a little game show trivia with her, and she wants some candy, so she can't be unhappy. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, here is our interview with the one and only Solo Darling on the High Spot Podcast. All right, Trendsetter, another night here at Pro Wrestling Magic. We are with Solo Darling, who made her debut. First of all, how you feeling? How was your first crack here at Pro Wrestling Magic? How did it feel?
Wow, it was incredible being here. What an awesome audience, a group of people, amazing competitors. Really gave me a run for my money there. Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. I had a really good time.
So you wrestled 3 times in one night. Talk about that. Talk about like the stamina that you need to do that here, especially.
Stamina, Jeff, can you just look at her? She is in tip-top shape. Stamina is not a question.
I train every day. I'm at the Wrestle Factory most days I can get there a week. And then when I'm not there, I'm powerlifting and doing power yoga, which is like a Baptiste form. So it's like really fast, so you get blown up all the time. And then, like, I go to this crazy trail with Officer Magnum, where we do trail things and dog things. So,
I saw your dog. You brought him here.
I did. Officer Magnum made an appearance. He was a little tired from the signing earlier in Virginia,
yeah.
So he didn't have his gear on, but he was here to support.
So, how crazy? How hectic is the life of a professional wrestler? And people that don't know, you're in Virginia. You made the trek over here to wrestle 3 times again in one night.
Yeah.
Talk about the hectic schedule that you have, and just sometimes you're like, wow, man, where do I have the chance to just, like, you know, take a breath and collect myself?
What's super strange about that is that whenever I tell, like, my best friend I grew up with my schedule, it sounds bizarre, right? Like a 9-to-5-er, right? And then he's like, wait, what are you doing this weekend? I'm like, oh, yeah. And I was up at 2, and then I drove here, and I was here for, like, 3 hours. And then, like, but then when I have a chance to sit down and breathe, like, it's me and Magnum, like, all right, cool, that was fun for about 5 minutes. Let's go do a thing. So we're just like always on the go. And then maybe one day a month we're just kind of like, we clock out.
Yeah.
Real quick, when you talk about the on-the-go thing, too, like we're kind of on-the-go, too. We're constantly doing stuff. If we're not, we're feeling anxiety that we're not doing something. Do you allow yourself that time to have that break where you kind of recharge the batteries and stuff like that? Because with the hectic schedule, like Jeff mentioned before, it could be wear and tear not only on the body but on the mind as well, right?
It is. And you definitely have to take what I like to call, you have to go to the white space.
Okay.
So a lot of creative things that you want to bring to your performance, to your training, you know, to your hot moves that you want to put out there, to anything that you're going to do in a creative sense, you need to leave that and go to the things that inspire you. Like, I like my Marvel movies. I do like my yoga.
Did you see Infinity Wars?
Yes.
How many times?
Just once, because okay. I haven't had the time. But I'm going to go back, because it's amazing, and I love it.
Still got to see Deadpool, though, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go see Deadpool. And, hello, Solo is coming out.
Yes.
I mean, I'm here, but also coming out.
Do you get royalties for that at all?
I got to hit him up.
Seriously, really. Come on.
Computers everywhere, you know? So, women's wrestling right now is...
Hot.
Exactly. Yeah, see, she's like...
It's time to be alive.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. Like, him and I discussed on the show, I don't think women's wrestling, like, they call this huge revolution and great... give a lot of credit where credit is due, but at the same time, this is something that the audience has been asking for a really, really long time. Is there any particular moment you felt that you start seeing the momentum build itself up where it is today right now and where it can be in the future?
Whoa, that's loaded. And the reason I say that is because every single performer in women's wrestling has taken a leap. Right? Like, so everyone from Sherry Martel, who was my first inspiration, all the way through. And, you know, and yes, it's called the Women's Revolution here, and it's, you know, this here, but I think everyone is working really hard to go, hey, what's a new thing we can do? And I really love intergender wrestling. I really like mixing it up because Wonder Woman plays with everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that gives you a sense of identity instead of gender. And I enjoy that, right? Like, I want to see these women play, but like, what if they are up against, I don't know, British Strong Style?
Yeah.
Like, let's see what they can do too. I love the play of it, and I love the blend as well. Like, women's wrestling's on fire, and we're also, like, kicking butt with everyone else, too.
It's funny she mentions intergender wrestling, too, because that's something that a lot of people have always talked about, whether you want to be a traditionalist or whatever, about how to see a woman and a man in the ring at the same time, is it believable or not? You know, I think now people are just so much more accepting of that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Well, and there will always be, right? There will always be a blend.
Yeah.
There's always going to be people that maybe don't feel it, and that's okay. They need to have those opinions.
Yeah.
We need to have that blend and that contrast to give us inspiration, to drive, to evolve as a whole, as a performance, as a troupe, as a business. And I believe that when I set foot in the ring, I am Solo. I don't need to be a gender, but I am a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something to be appreciated. Just like Wonder Woman and Superwoman and the Wasp.
Yeah, of course, strong woman. Look at those biceps, guys. She is a strong woman.
So when you
decide
your character, is it based on a bunch of superheroes? Is it on a strong woman character that you portray? Like, who would you say bits and pieces have inspired you to kind of, like, be the character that you are now?
I drew inspiration over a lot of time in different superheroes that I like. Black Cat was always my first favorite. I really did like Squirrel Girl growing up as well. I fell in love with that kind of... I wanted to bring that lighthearted enjoyment to it. And I wanted to also play. But having the evolution of getting the tail cut off and evolving into more of a waspiest designed character and playing with the Rumblebees at Chikara allowed me to play in a fun way that I've always admired, right? Like, I've always loved leg submissions and leg holes and Bret Hart, and I love Eddie Guerrero. And, like, I grew up loving Malenko and all of these types of artists and performers and wrestlers and workers that bring a different style to it. So for me, it's very fun because I still get to be the sugar creature, but I also get
just
to, like,
a different version of it, basically.
Yeah.
An evolution of it, like you mentioned before. And what I enjoy so much about what Jeff and I cover professional wrestling is the evolution of it, not just in terms of in-ring style, but in terms of development of oneself. And what's something I admire a lot about you guys in terms of what you guys do in the ring, and we live vicariously through you guys in there, because I know I couldn't physically do it. Forget about that. Is that, you know, where do you feel you are in your career now? It's a loaded question again, but at the same time, are you content with where you are now, and do you feel you still have that level of bridge to kind of build more and more?
Always. As an artist, even since I was a kid, I grew up as a drummer. And I never want to stay in one station. And given this opportunity to perform in this way has been so fun. And I hope that everyone is also enjoying the ride and development, because a lot of the things I bring to the ring are from real life. a lot of that passion, that pain, that need to survive, that want to persevere, it comes from real for me. And I bring it to you in the gear that I design, because I make my own gear to try and, like, have that fun.
You got to be creative, like, so it's not a lot of people have
that. There's a method behind it. It's not just a nice little
The emblem
ensemble.
I designed myself, so it's my own kind of thing there.
And you got to give props to the creativity, though, because we've seen you, you know, and that's another thing, too. We've seen you on YouTube. This is the first time we've had a chance to see you in person, which is a real treat to see you three times. And I noticed that, again, you use a lot of that psychology where at any time they can submit to your, you know, to any, you know, like submission. And that's great because, you know, it tells a story. How important do you think it is to tell a story sometimes more than the match itself?
I think that in a lot of ways will trump it because people want to go on the ride.
Yeah.
Like, if you're sitting there, if I'm watching something, I want to go on the ride. And a lot of times, like, I can't relate to Superman because what? Yeah. He's not going to lose. But if there's pull in that, but I always want the thing that I know will win. If Thor always gets his hammer, yeah, right? Like, it is on.
Yeah.
And so in there, no matter what, I'm going to devise a plan to try and get the sharp stinger or try and get one of my other leg wraps on there.
Oh, we can spend a whole hour talking about just DC Marvel stuff and storylines like that. But one final one for me, though, is that, you know, with the evolution of wrestling and characters, things of that nature, you also have to take in hand that the way it's distributed nowadays is completely different. We have the All-In event that we're going to be a part of pretty soon in Chicago.
It's awesome.
The whole social media aspect, there are obviously positive and negatives, but I like to think any performer diving into this business or someone like yourself who's been in it and are continually evolving each single time, how crucial is social media for you back to the days that Jeff and I used to do, not to make ourselves sound archaic, Jeff, but, you know, tape trading is way gone.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody wants to see your stuff on the West Coast, here's a link to my stuff. Take a look at it. How vital is it for you to get your content out there and to have other promotions and other people have more eyes on you?
It's absolutely important. And getting yourself out there, especially with a character change like mine, too, where maybe they didn't get to see Shimmer yet, or maybe they're not. And then what? Yeah. And then, like, I show up and they're like, well, where'd the tail go? Like, those are real things that, because we're so into Instagram, Twitter, and all, like, the YouTube and things, providing people with a sense of yourself also invites them to play.
Yeah.
And I, just as much as I want to play, I would like them, if they want the entertainment, to feel entertained and feel like I want to play with them too. So social media for me is a nice way of connectivity amongst each other.
Do you feel more power as the performer that now you can brand yourself any way you want? It's not somebody giving you direction. Listen, we want you to do this. It's more, I can be my own creative ability and so many people can watch it.
Yes, it is a way for you to grow too. And I'm all about experiencing and learning on your own. And, like, you know, no one taught me to sew or no one taught me to do, like, an iMovie thing. Like, you just kind of go out there and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that really gives you sufficiency, doesn't it?
Yeah. I have a bunch of last ones, too. So thank you, Solar Darling, for joining us. Solar Darling, for joining us. So here is...
See, he's marking out. He's getting flustered. I'm sorry.
I failed.
I'm sorry about this.
No. Please.
Chikara has a following. Ring of Honor has a following. You know, New Japan has a following.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere. There's women's wrestling now is... People can't get enough.
Mm.
Talk about working in independence, or I don't know if you like that word, independence. Talk about just a surge that it's had in the last few years now as far as, like, we'll talk about the Young Bucks and what the Cody's doing with All In.
Just crazy.
Awesome. Talk about this, that resurgence, how good it is to be now where you don't have to go to the machine, so to speak, mm-hmm. and be there, and just talk about how, like, you can make a living, you know, picking and choosing where you want to work.
I think it's remarkable that when I started, I thought I wouldn't have a chance anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? I'm a little small. I'm a brick, but not 6'5", right?
Yeah.
No. And so getting to explore other companies and travel the world, and I was just with Sendai Girls. I just worked with Mako Satomura.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so that will all be out soon, and it's on YouTube. So I did get to go to Sendai Girls for almost 2 weeks, and I ended up tagging with Mako, and it was a huge moment for me. I love her. I look up to her.
Yeah.
And the fact that I started in one place, watched her and everyone, and I have also been in locker rooms with them, is an incredible journey. And it really says something about what we can all do together when we all have the same passion, and we all just want to enjoy this. And bring it to each other, right? The fans to us to them, and we can really make things happen.
That's awesome. It is an amazing resurgence in independent wrestling too. So maybe you've already answered it, but my last question is: who's your dream match? Have you had it already?
It can't be Bret Hart.
Yeah. I know.
It can't be Bret Hart.
Is there a dream match that they go, listen, we're gonna book you tomorrow? Let's just say MSG.
Let's say WrestleMania. That's it. WrestleMania.
They're so difficult.
From any era.
Have you had it, or is there still like a dream opponent that you're like, yeah, you know, I want to try. I want to.
Not yet, but I have had some incredible matches that like I feel like everyone was an honor in the last year or two, right? Like I even got to work with Hollow Wicked, and I got to work with Fire Ant, and they're incredible performers. I got to tag with Mako against Aja Kong, and that was something I just was like, I don't even know what is life right now. and so getting to work with. I would like to work with British Strong Style. Like, I would like to really kind of get out there and be with the people that we're all kind of, like, floating around with. And surprisingly, even though she's one of my closest friends, Kaylee Ray, I've never had a singles match with her.
Okay, there you go. That could be it.
Maybe something to look forward to in 2018. Maybe, who knows?
Promoters, book it.
Who knows?
Somebody book it. And
just give them away for free right here.
And if there was somebody in WWE that you want to check your styles and see if you guys how you guys are doing in the ring, who would it be?
What's here against Asuka?
We passed. We definitely crossed paths. I got to Shimmer and then bye.
Yeah,
so I would like to work with Asuka. Ruby Riott.
There you go.
Ruby.
Yes. Oh, yes.
The history there.
I'd like to, after all this time, she's seen me grow up.
How do you feel about her in WWE?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
It's about time. She's amazing. Yeah. I'm so happy for them. All of them, the group of them.
Yeah.
But I love her, and I wish her nothing but the best. She's an incredible human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I mean, WrestleMania and New Orleans and stuff, you know, being in that Rumble match too. So that's awesome. And so what can we expect from you in the future now? What do you have, going on right now?
I think I'm packed all the way through December.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Show to show. I think I just took three more today.
So you have three matches, and now you took three more bookings.
Right. Today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Again, it just shows you how awesome it is. You filled your schedule. You get to go where you want to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can ask for, right?
It's really fun.
Yeah.
And then when I'm not wrestling, I do a bunch of other creative projects and... Mm-hmm. You know, art and things. So stay tuned.
Well,
I'm yearning the ukulele.
Yeah, ukulele. Bring that back,
bring that
honestly.
Back. Yeah.
Nobody can play a good ukulele nowadays.
Okay, isn't that crazy?
But something that I admire about you, and since I've had time to sit down here and talk to you guys, and I'm not marking out, I can't believe it, is me basically how much respect. I can speak for Jeff on this end, but I don't really speak much for him because whatever comes out of his mouth doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But we admire so much of what you do because something with Jeff and I take pride in is that when we have people on the show, it's basically people that are just very passionate about what they do, and clearly you can tell in the ring, and obviously sitting next to you and hearing you talk for a few minutes, how passionate you are about this, and obviously other avenues you have. So thank you so much. We greatly appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Do you like game show solo?
I mean, yeah. What are we doing?
Do you like game shows? All right, real quick. Do you still have, I know you lost your tail. Do you still have a sweet tooth?
Yeah.
Is that still going? Okay.
It's just intravenous usually now.
Really?
It's intravenous.
All right. So here you go.
Oh, my God.
This is the first time we're playing the game show, and we thought we'd play with you real quick. Who ended Oscar's streak?
Look at me. Yeah. I don't know what he's talking about.
And you win a
Who
no.
ended Oscar's streak?
Who ended Oscar's
really?
Streak?
Really? Okay. Well, Charlotte Flair did it.
I was going to guess that, too. Okay. Oh, I looked at you. I was like, should I say Charlotte Flair? But you didn't give me the Iggy.
Okay. All right, then. So simple.
That's so funny. I haven't seen anything. I've been on the road.
Hey, you've been on the road. But you have it on your phone.
Do I? I don't know.
All right, so we're going to throw you – I'm going to give you a layup here. Who's your favorite podcast host here, him or me?
Oh, come on, don't do that to her, seriously. I mean –
Give the best questions. Plead the fifth? There you go. That's the right answer.
Plead the fifth.
Yeah, there you go. We're both good. That's it.
It doesn't matter. She needs to say it. I know I'm the better one. So
I was like, I'm pretty depleted. I had coffee at after 2 p.m. today. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I don't drink coffee. That's the thing. I'm always naturally...
I am Mexican, Puerto Rican, Italian. I had coffee in the bottle.
Really? That's a...
Mm-hmm. No wonder she's so spooky.
Great blend.
Right yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Solo.
Grandpa.
Close your eyes. Pick out of the bag.
Okay.
And you get your
There's a bag down there.
Yes, there's a bag.
There's a bag down the back.
Yeah.
What do I want? Do I want the bag or do I want this?
No, you can
only pick one.
You're goody.
That's what I want.
We're on a tight budget.
Yeah, that's what I want.
There you go.
Oh, they're the Reds, too.
Yeah.
Starburst is the best.
There
actually,
you go.
One of my cats is named Starburst.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you have a dog and a cat?
I got six cats.
Holy crap.
It's called the Darling Farm. It's really what it is.
Something now with wrestlers and cats, right?
Well, they're pretty old. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
No wonder she loves Bret Hart. The whole Hart family, the cat scenario where they work cats for warmth.
Mr. Money has met Officer Magnum.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
So I like to break fourth wall. I don't know if you noticed.
No, that's yeah. No, that's fine. Yeah.
What's the fourth wall?
Now I see a lot of wrestlers and a lot of people. Yeah. Right. Hi, Colt.
Hi, Phil Brooks.
Pigs. Now everyone's getting a pig now.
Yeah. So I almost got a teacup pig.
So you almost got one.
And then I met Officer Magnum, and I was like, oh, I got to do this. And then I was, listen up, people in Indiana, I would like to get booked out in Indiana because you can adopt a domesticated fox. And certain breeds,
fox,
a domesticated fox, they litter box trained, you know, leash trained, whatever. They play well with other animals. There's two different types. And I thought, like, if I show up at a venue with the fox and the hound, like, what up?
What's the next evolution for this? Would be like cats, foxes, pigs. Now
they're cute.
I have a lion. I'm gonna get a tiger. Basically,
you could probably use that start young.
Yeah.
Like as long as they know who daddy and mommy is, like they're not phased.
Yeah. Well, so, we don't want to mess with her though.
So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Just went through three matches and you tolerate us for 15 minutes.
No, this
that's why
great.
We gave you the Starburst.
So you can take all.
Put it away in your fanny pack.
Oh, man.
It's unbelievable.
No, I'm not sharing it.
People still carry fanny packs, folks.
Yeah,
this is
the one I got in Japan. This was my treat. A gold one.
Oh, TJ Fridays. Are they good? Do you go there?
What is it?
TJ Fridays.
I've been to a TJ Fridays.
The one that the Young Bucks go to? By the Dome?
No, I haven't been that one.
You're obsessed with being the elite, seriously.
I haven't been to that one, though.
All right.
Well, there's still time. But thank you so much.
I did eat beef tongue, though.
That's another.
I've had cow heart. It's pretty good.
I would have done that. Yeah. I would have done up top.
Anticuchos. That's what they call it. Yeah. Peruvian.
Nice.
Peruvian delicacy, Jeff.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Ric Flair in it, guys. Woo! Seriously.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Cool.
Solo Darling, guys, here on the High Spot Podcast is Jeff's marking out. Thank you so much.
All right, Trendsetter, that was Solo Darling. Thanks to her for joining us. You can follow her on Twitter at Solo Darling. Trendsetter, man, it was great to see her in action, in person. She is definitely a great personality and definitely shows her passion for professional wrestling.
Well, yeah, passion, dedication, whatever adjectives you want to use in this sense. Yeah, it makes sense. It's great for us. I've seen Solo Darling's work, never had the ability of personally watching it, and very thankful that I had the opportunity to do it. And then just speaking to her, I mean, you could definitely tell the commitment she has. And I think, you know, hey, I'm no expert, right? We live vicariously through these characters and these individuals that portray these characters, Jeff. But what I love so much is her commitment to stick with what she is, and also her creativity. She, you know, she even mentioned it too, and I mentioned it too during the interview. She's an artist. She's created this scenario and has evolved it, and continually works at evolving herself, not only as a character, quote unquote, but as a performer too. So to me, that's inspiring for us. It's been the same thing we've had for every single guest we've had on the show, Jeff, where it's inspiring that they're doing something they love, but also they're never settled and they're never satisfied with just, you know, sitting on their laurels. They always want to get better, and Solo Darling is just continually getting better each single time, and the sky's the limit for her.
And you can check out the YouTube interview we did with Solo Darling this week. It'll come out, so you can catch also the visual of us talking to Solo Darling and playing that game show. You guys get a good laugh at that, because I definitely fanboyed. But again, though, our thanks to Solo Darling, who, of course, is fighting out of Chikara and out of the Wrestle Factory as well. So great to talk to her. You can follow her on Twitter at Solo Darling. And the interview is brought to you by Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. From cool-looking headwear to great-looking men's and women's shirts, check out their entire spring fashion line by going to collarxelbowbrand.com and save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST.
Get that deal, guys. Come
get
on.
It, man. It's spring. The weather's... Eventually,
it's
we'll get
spring converting to summer, but at the same time, hopefully summer arrives, Jeff. Hopefully it arrives. But again, there's nothing like wearing summer attire that's cool, it's stylish,
spring,
because we're so sick and tired of winter right now.
Yeah, so definitely go to collarxelbowbrand.com, and again, enter promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST. Great items, great stuff there for the spring and summer season.
Yeah, why pay full price? Guys, get 10% off. Come on, it's easy.
All right, Trendsetter, it is time to talk about something that I've been waiting a whole week to talk about, and that is Cobra Kai. And we were scurrying and trying to find somebody that we could talk to.
Scurrying the land
and find somebody that could talk Cobra Kai with us. And, you know, we tried Hollywood Big Shots and got the door slammed in our faces, and then all of a sudden I'm at the barber shop.
Well, sometimes it was the other way around. Yes. We slammed the door in their faces.
True, we're very selective. And then And then absolutely out of the blue, I think of the Moody Barber, who has not been on the show in God knows how long.
And
it was
a year.
And I went to get my hair cut. I don't even know what we talked about with the Moody Barber that day.
What do you mean?
What did we talk to him that day about when we had him on the show?
Oh, we had him. Oh, we were just kind of basically just talking about wrestling. We were just shooting the breeze about basically events that were going on, you know, previewing the pay-per-views and stuff like that. It was his first time on the show, so he was a little nervous. But now, you know, every time we see him, when you get your haircut every third day and I get my haircut every other week, it's just either wrestling or just more common stuff. We, you know, the cool thing about the Moody Barber is you know, depending on the kind of mood you catch him in, he was completely in love with the Cobra Kai movie. Didn't know much about it and then started talking to us, and he was like, you guys have seen it too, and it was just a given. We had to have him on the show.
All right, so you're going to find out how the Moody Barber got into Cobra Kai. Plus, we dissect the whole first season, talk about maybe a little bit of season two and preview that as well, and a whole bunch of shenanigans in a nice little conversation we had with our Moody Barber, who cuts our hair so amazingly in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And now, here he is making his return to the High Spot Podcast is the Moody Barber talking Cobra Kai.
Fear does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, sensei!
Pain does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, sensei!
Defeat does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, sensei!
We do not train to be merciful here. Mercy is for the weak. Here, on the street, in competition, a man confronts you, he is the enemy. An enemy deserves no mercy. What is the problem, Mr. Lawrence?
All right, Trendsetter, we are talking Cobra Kai. Of course, it is a series that has everyone talking so much that we had to have a whole episode about it, Trendsetter. And here he is. We're talking to you right now, our barber, the moody one, Mr. William Hines. Will, what's up, brother?
Cobra Kai! Everything's good, man. How are we this evening?
I was like, man, I've seen series before, but not in a long time, like, so much that I wanted to dedicate, like, a half of an episode to. And we're talking about Cobra Kai. So, Will, tell me, just your thoughts. When did you realize that this was a thing? When did you start watching it? Did you binge watch? Just tell me how you got into Cobra Kai.
All right. Simple conversation at the barbershop. My boy, check him out, Joe on Edge, asked me a simple question. Have you seen the Cobra Kai trailer? And at the time, I did not. And then, simply put, my buddy Mike came in and put it on the TV and blew my freaking mind. It was an awesome experience just to have the input that there's going to be a show about something that should have been done a long time ago, but I think it was perfectly timed. I think this generation needed something like this, and it kind of hits more home for the old heads. So
I hear you.
You know, it's kind of necessary right now. But I did not binge watch it. It took me about maybe like 6 days to watch the whole thing. But I really wanted to binge watch it.
Dude,
I remember asking Will the same question. I mean, how could you just watch a couple episodes and not watch the entire series? He tried to be on his best behavior. He wanted to leave the suspense for himself. Will, were you a huge fan? I never asked you this before, but you're a huge fan of the whole Karate Kid series from 1 all the way to 3. Did you watch Next Karate Kid, stuff like that too?
I did, and I found them fun. I don't consider the movie that was done a couple of years back. You know, no shame to Jackie Chan or anything. It was a great movie, but, you know, I can't put that in the same genre as all of this. Because this has history, you know?
Yeah.
Question to you guys. Have you ever watched the fan theory that Danny was the bad guy? He was the antagonist.
I'm glad that you mentioned that because Brian here, the trendsetter, did point that out to me. He's like, you have to watch what's going on YouTube because now they have it as if Daniel LaRusso was the bully. And it's you take it from Daniel's perspective, right? And you're like, oh my God, poor Daniel. He gets bullied and man, you know, you only see it one side. And then Brian shows it to me And, you know, what was it, like maybe like 15, 20 minutes, whatever. And you're like, holy crap. You know, if you feel bad for Mr. Johnny Lawrence here.
Right?
You know,
I mean, he wanted to do good. He had one more year. What was it, 10 months to turn everything around or something like that? I forgot the exact quote. Brian, do you know that one?
No, I don't remember the quote, though. But what I loved about what, you know, you and I spoke about it before, and I remember showed that YouTube video to Jeff, was the fact that, you know, what makes great villains is the fact that you can be sympathetic with them. And with Johnny, you can actually see it from his perspective, especially during the whole Cobra Kai series, too, when he sits down with Miguel and he talks about his whole history with Daniel LaRusso and trying to warn him about the LaRussos and Sammy, the daughter of Daniel LaRusso. And I thought it was just so interesting because you saw it from his side of it, like he was just minding his own business, and in comes Daniel LaRusso being such a punk and a kid that you could actually see it from his side. But, you know, ultimately, it's great seeing different perspectives of it rather than back when we watched Karate Kid. It was more of a... You just labeled Johnny Lawrence as this punk bully. You know, you're glad he got beat and you could care less what happened to him. Now, because you're so invested into the series, you actually now are rooting for Johnny rather than Daniel.
Yeah, you want to see him rise.
But talk about William Zabka's performance, Will, and Trendsetter here, because it makes me think, why wasn't he doing more stuff? And
he was waiting for this role.
Yeah, and then you see these two... Yeah. You see these two first episodes that were free, by the way, which is a great way to introduce people to it, you know, like tease them the first two episodes, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, get YouTube Red, because, you know, everyone's doing the free trial thing, and why not, dude? It's 10 episodes. But back to William Zabka, though, how good was his performance in this whole, you know, series? Because you sympathize with him for what he's going through, and now Daniel's the... You know, all, you know, rich and has a great life, but you sympathize with Johnny Lawrence, right?
Yeah, from the moment he wakes up, very first episode, from his dream, from hitting that mat, coming up off the bed, knew he was down and out. You know, you feel bad for the dude because he could have had it all. You know, what I want to see is more of a backstory. Like, has he really been like this from the moment, you know, he lost that day? Did his family oust him? You know, we know the sensei came back all the way at the end. I don't know how about, you know,
yeah, Crease, right?
That,
yeah.
But, did he disrespect the dojo by smoking in it?
I'm not sure.
I didn't even look at it from that perspective. That was more just for character building, like he was coming out of the ashes of the smoke. But yeah, he probably did disrespect the mat for the mere fact that he was smoking in the dojo. But no, you're right. I mean, getting an understanding of the backstory, but you kind of get a little bit of that in terms of, you know, Johnny's altercation with Danny LaRusso in the bar when they're kind of talking about their senseis, talking about their father figures. You find out a little of the backstory of Johnny, of why he was or who he was, what he was, because initially in the series, we thought he came from money, came from a rich family, ended up being a stepfather, mistreating his mother, and then him being bullied and looking towards a father figure, which was obviously what he saw in Cobra Kai. And Danny, very similar, father dying at a young age, though, and trying to look for a father figure, which was Mr. Miyagi. And it's funny how different spheres they come in. My favorite line, too, is the fact that Johnny's like, well, yeah, well, at least your sensei didn't break your trophy and try to kill you. And Danny's like, hey, you're right about that.
Yeah.
Damn true.
But and then you think that they're going to end up becoming friends, right? After the bar. And then you realize that,
Rocky 3 scenario.
Yeah, they were going to – did you get that tie-in where they were going to do the –
Yeah. One more time on the mat.
And no cameras, no newspapers, just you and me.
And then through no fault of, of either one of them, you know, Daniel's training
Robbie,
which is, you know, Johnny Lawrence's son, and that starts a whole, crazy, you know, mix up there of miscommunication and stuff like that. And just talk about that, though, like the opposites between the two kids here. How good is Miguel and how good is Robbie in this series?
I think both of them as characters, very cool. I don't know how I feel about Robbie yet. You know, I like his skill as an actor, very cool. But I don't know if he's still playing everybody, because when you first meet him in the show, he's a street hood, you know, with a game plan, and he's the smooth talker. He's the guy that can smile his way through anything. You know, even now in competing, like, did he swindle his way into something else? Like, is all of this a ploy? So I don't know how I feel about him.
You're still shady on his character. You still don't know if he's legit. Yeah.
You know, because he was rolling with a crew and then he lured them in. It was kind of like a self-defense type thing. So, you know, is he a good character? Is he somebody that's going to turn good? Or is he the Danny of the old show, of the old movie? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Miguel, I don't know how I... His change of character was because of the teachings, the ways of Cobra Kai. You know, and you turn this innocent kid now into somebody that is very proud of himself, you know, very confident. Had a decent looking girl, you know, went from being technically a nobody to being a leader of a pack now, you know?
Yeah.
And where the show ends, he goes a little too dark, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
personally,
but,
you know, I see two different ways, but. I don't know. What do you think about Miguel?
I loved Miguel starting out. I thought he was, you know, him and talk about the relationship that they that he has with Johnny Lawrence. That was great back and forth. And you know, and you could see, you know, Miguel really made Johnny Lawrence, like, you know, he kind of broke him down. He broke down his rough exterior, you know. And basically, I like that. But though, you know, what I want to talk to the trendsetter here about, and you too, is yes, I liked where he started. But yeah, you know, Miguel's going to the dark side. But talk about that though. What yeah, right. There's the
it's a Star Wars reference.
Exactly.
He's in the Force for Evil.
He's in the Force for Evil. But talk about though, you know, for kids like that. And how it relates to society now, where kids, you know, with the bullying and, you know, and just being, you know, it's like bullied in school. And talk about, like, yep. They just want something to build their confidence, and how it's kind of like, yes, Johnny Lawrence is teaching them, you know, how to defend themselves, but also in the kind of like with the wrong method, though, right?
Yeah. You know, no mercy, strike first. Yeah. And you saw that play out in the last fight, you know, when Johnny told Miguel, like, you don't have to strike there, you know, like, you don't have to be a specific way, you know, but that went against his own teachings. So, I don't know.
He's still blown away. He's still like, I got to watch it. I got to watch the whole series again. Trendsetter,
what do you watch
think?
It three more times in a row. But,
well,
no.
Listen, you guys cleared it with mom and dad in one day. I thought that was a freaking awesome story. Shout out.
So this is what happened, right? We had, we had to work, and, you know, mom's got to understand. So it was Mother's Day. And I'm thinking, you know what? Why not just freaking rent or get the free trial of Cobra Kai? My parents loved Karate Kid, and this would be a great thing to binge watch. You know what I mean? So I was like, why not, right?
It's so cool, dude.
Oh, and they were into it, too.
Yeah, the folks were into it as well. They understood the story. And man, it goes so many directions now. We're going to go back and forth here. I mean, because at the same time, it's historical and nostalgic for our generation in terms that we watched the Karate Kid from the first one all the way to this. But also, you don't really need to see the Karate Kid. It benefits you if you do in terms of just enjoying the story behind it. But you don't really need to watch the series to understand what's going on in Cobra Kai, which is great because it opens the door for a whole new audience. Just going back quickly to Miguel, what's cool about Miguel is the situation that, you know, he came up as his character as a version of obviously Daniel LaRusso. But then, you know, being trained by the wrong sensei. And I had a discussion with Will about this where there's actually something in the comic books and all the universes of DC where
he's cutting my hair.
No, he's working on my beard. I'm trying to talk to him with my mouth closed, which is like I honestly, I'm going. If my career doesn't work here on the podcast, I can be a ventriloquist, no problem, because I've learned that much how to talk without moving my lips, and all that's thanks to the Moody Barber, because he always likes to ask me questions while he's working on my stash, and I'm like, I can't answer you, man. So I'm gonna try the best I possibly can.
And I'm trying to get you to work on your telepathy, bro.
Exactly. So, and I appreciate that. It hasn't worked since, but I know you're my sensei of that, basically, Will. But with him, it's like it's the Daniel LaRusso. But, you know, with, like, for example, we go back to Superman. We know Superman was found by the Kents, and he learned to be such a good person because of what the Kent family did for him. There is a version, too, of what happens if Clark Kent was actually discovered by Lionel Luthor and the Luthor family, and he turns over into a worse human being. This is kind of similar to that story pattern, if Will would agree with me or not here, I don't know, where we see Miguel being trained by the incorrect sensei. Yeah. If he had met Daniel LaRusso prior, maybe Daniel LaRusso would have taught him the ways and would have continued that path or that same storyline we have. But what I love about it is a different dynamic. You see the innocence of Miguel quickly change from being very shy, very lack of self-esteem, to finally some of the teachings of Cobra Kai actually did make sense. Strike first, take no for an answer, asking Sammy out on a date, and not accepting no for an answer in that sense. But then it gets taken to another level where it's the point where now it's not about fighting dirty. It's about, you know, no mercy and all those factors, but again, you lose your ability, if you're self-conscious of deciding what's good or what's bad.
Yeah, no, definitely.
That's
and,
what
and,
I found
and
cool.
My question is, guys, is how come there were no girls that looked like that when we were in high school?
Yeah, you damn right.
let me tell you, man, she does a good job not only with her dialogues with Miguel, but just her facial expressions and the way she flirts.
Samantha
right?
LaRusso?
Samantha? Yeah, man. She's awesome.
She works the eyes.
Yeah. When I walked into the barbershop, I was like, who should come?
Robbie also, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And what do you think? Do you think Miguel overreacted? I would be pissed if I'm not going to
He was intoxicated too, so that didn't help the situation either.
Yeah, but you know.
Not at all. And it was his first time drinking. Well, yeah. No, wait. He drank celebrating with Sensei.
Yeah.
All right, so ooh.
Got some hair on his balls for that one, yeah.
It's true.
Oh, man, Sensei got him blasted first.
Yeah. So talk about this, the nostalgia factor that the trendsetter brought up. Those little, those little hints of like going back to the Karate Kid. So if you watched Karate Kid, you know what we're talking about. For those fans that want to be like, what was that? What was that reference to? They'll go back and take a look at it now, which is a great idea by the producers of the show. But talk about the nostalgia factor. Too much, too little, just right? What were your thoughts? Did you like it?
I loved it. Actually, makes me want to go play miniature golf again. I mean, guys, when you were young, the first time you ever went miniature golfing, didn't you feel like Danny LaRusso?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, me personally, you know, I thought I was the cool kid. But it was because of that damn movie.
Yeah.
You know, I was a baby when that came out. Truth be told, I was damn near 7 years old. But, you know, just like when they showed that again, you know, when they went back to the exact same golf course in our arcade, you know, I thought that was really cool. The music hit the right moments, made me feel like I was back then again.
Yeah.
You know, even though it was just a guy cruising in a old school car, you know, but I think it hit it right on the nail to make you want more, to make you wonder what else are they going to do, or whether or not they're not even going to focus in the past anymore and just go current. But what do you feel, honestly? Like, does it make you want to look more into the stuff from the 80s? Did you feel like you were back then watching it? Did it make you feel like a kid again when you saw this?
I tell you, man, I went back to being that. Oh, God, God knows how old I was when the Karate came out, 8, 9. I don't know, maybe. And it just, when I saw the car, just that little reveal of Daniel's car, the yellow Cadillac, was it?
Oh, that was amazing.
I mean, come on. Just that little, like, they do it so well. Like, they could shoot the whole thing. But just the fact that, like, hey, maybe that's going to be something in the next season, maybe. You know, they just plant that little seed, man. That's what I like, too. And then, of course, the Miyagi, when he goes to visit him at his grave, that one really hits when he's talking to him and he thinks about what Miyagi was talking about breathing and stuff like that. That was, come on, I had to shed a tear.
Yeah, if you didn't shed tears for that, especially watching the whole Karate Kid series like we did as we were kids growing up, then you don't have a soul.
You don't. You're so.
You don't have a soul. You're completely cold-hearted. And, you know, it just a huge credit goes to just the simplicity and the greatness of that story. It's an underdog story, obviously, the Karate Kid, but the teachings continue on long past Mr. Miyagi passing away. And that moment was, you know, for example, you cry when you see Clark Kent talking about Jonathan Kent, right?
Oh, don't get me started.
Or Bruce Wayne, you know, memorizing the, you know, mourning his parents' loss and all stuff. It's just, it makes you go back to, like, for example, with Daniel LaRusso, although he started from nothing, absolutely nothing, and now he's been very successful, and now is owning a car dealership, has money, has finances now that he never had before, and, you know, Johnny's doing the opposite. Now he's gone downward and can barely make ends meet. But still, the lessons continue. It's all about the one thing Mr. Miyagi talked about, balance. And I think that's what you find in this series more than anything, especially season one, which could have ended just on season one, but it left the door open for season two.
We'll get to about season two.
But the main thing I get from you guys, I want to know what your interpretation is, when the series was complete, you found that thing where, despite however you felt of how the series ended or the season ended, it was great balance in between nostalgia and between newer fans being able to enjoy this. Because now, believe it or not, as much as I'm invested in Daniel LaRusso and Johnny as well, I'm more invested into these new characters like Miguel, Sammy, Robbie, all these other investments in
Hawk.
There. So Hawk, amazing job by Hawk from where he started to where he is now. I'm just, you know, give me a body bag type of thing. It's a great balance in the whole series.
He was a very cool character to watch change. That was awesome. Shout out to Hawk, Lip, all of that.
Would you ever get a back tattoo like that, Will?
You say what?
Would you ever get a back tattoo like Hawk did?
Heck yeah, man. Mine would be a flamingo.
Oh, my God. All right, so... So I didn't ask you though. How did you feel when you saw the whole when he goes to Miyagi's grave? Did you get that nostalgia? Did you shed that little tear?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. You know, because it was almost like back then he understood what Miyagi was saying, but it made full sense now once he's older. You know, and just, I don't know, the way it ghosted out. It was pretty cool.
And of course, my favorite one, besides the car, was when Robbie hurt his shoulder and Daniel was going to rub his hands. And
like then Mr. Miyagi,
and all of a sudden you're like, no, he's not going to do that, is he?
And then he
goes, trainer, can we get a trainer?
That was classic, dude.
Oh, I was like.
Have you ever did that on anybody?
No, well, I don't have Miyagi powers.
Good, exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, supposedly he's an evil sorcerer.
Oh, my God. But now, so your impression, though, after the full 10 episodes, what do you want to see heading into season two? What's the main story that you want answered?
You stumped him.
I want more of Robbie and Johnny. You know, I want to see how that plays out.
Yeah.
Whether or not they are going to respect each other as father and son, and through karate, they will gain an understanding for each other, even though they're going to be on opposite sides. I don't know how they're going to play out the whole Miyagi Dojo, but I would like to see more of that, more students there, and to see that place change and thrive, you know, not just like one student. With any hints to his daughter doing that massive spiral kick punch at the end.
Yeah.
You know, that was some Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
You know, do you know anything about her? Is she really like a martial artist?
You know, during the series,
you see the fact that she was trained by Daniel at a young age. She kind of stopped doing that.
But, like, you know, outside of it.
No. Yeah. She's not. She's not a trained martial artist. She's more into dancing and gymnastics. Which kind of helps the athleticism in terms of being able to move fluently and learn choreography. But no, her as an actress, no, she's not a trained martial artist. But it's cool. Will brought up a good point. And this is the main thing I'm looking forward to. You know, the end of the series ended on, you know, what's going to happen with Cobra Kai. But, you know, the old sensei comes back from the dead, theoretically. But what I'm more interested to see is the dojos, the evolution of where Cobra Kai goes now in this direction. Does Johnny keep it true to his sense of what Cobra Kai was, or the old way of what it was? And ultimately, with Miyagi-Dojo now coming back and Daniel now more teaching the ways of Mr. Miyagi and what he learned on the path with Robbie, now it seems like Sam's going to be involved in it. I'm more interested in the Sam character. You know why? Because she has that dilemma with Miguel. Will she now enter the tournament next year? Because one of her good friends said, you know, we need another female in
Aisha.
There. Aisha said that, exactly. Now the whole female empowerment scenario. And how, you know, and how she can kind of wear the gi now to represent her dojo. I can see that battle between Cobra Kai and Miyagi Dojo going on for a length amount of seasons.
Yeah, I could see them going so many directions, though. And, you know, if they just keep it the way they did, you know, I think it could lead on to a lot of seasons. I'm interested, of course, in what you know, John Kreese is gonna his role in this when he comes back is Johnny gonna throw him out immediately? He is a father figure in some way towards you know, Johnny Lawrence. So does he, you know, kick him out, or does he bring him in, and does he, you know, let him?
I don't know if he sees him as a father anymore. You could see that look in his eyes, like he's like saw a ghost, but he still has an influence over him because he really shaped and molded his life to where he is now.
He was the guy basically, not his stepdad. So that's what I want to see too. And, you know, Will, there's a lot of people that kind of are not on the bandwagon yet. What would you recommend to them? How would you tell them, hey, listen, man, give this a shot?
Yeah, I honestly, I put a couple of my younger clients onto it.
Yeah.
And I just showed them the trailer. And, you know, they laughed at a couple of it, but they gave it a shot and wound up binge watching it. Even a couple of my students, you know who they are.
Yeah.
They loved it, you know? Especially Silver Bullet. He wound up loving this show. Now he's all into it. He never seen the original movies, so he wound up watching this first and then going back and watching the movies.
Yeah.
I would just tell people, give it a chance. You know, if you love nostalgic stuff, whether or not it is from your era, just check it out. Give it a shot. If you don't like it after the first episode, you're not going to like it.
Yeah.
Period. Like, it's not for you. But if you like it where it's going at the end of episode one, by the time episode five is coming, you're on the edge of your seat, period. Because you said it before, character Aisha, big ups to the actress that played her. Personally, I was rooting for her because when she... All right, let me backtrack for one second. There are a lot of characters that specifically go along specific genres in high school.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're a big girl, whether you're too skinny, whether you're cross-eyed, whether you walk with a limp, whether you're too jockey, whether you're too pretty, whether you're just socially, you know, awkward, this covers it all. But I personally think people from the 80s and the very early 90s would grasp onto this very, very quickly, more than kids that are raised in this generation. But if, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, it is a constant conversation about kids from this era that they're a little too soft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were raised
millennials.
In a specific way.
Millennials.
Yeah. I didn't want to say, you know, a specific, but, you know, because we got soft people throughout life, throughout all generations, but damn right. You know, you hear it all the time, but, you know, this is showing how a simple different perspective on the way you can go about things will change your course. And, that's the basic constant throughout the show, you know, perspective, change it up.
Yeah.
You know, he told Lip to switch it up. He turned into Hawk and, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know as far as just telling somebody to watch it can do it. You know, it's kind of one of those things that you got to put them in a headlock and say, yo, check this out, bro. It's amazing. So, Matt, did you put anybody onto it?
Not yet. Not yet. But you know what the thing is? That what I say to anybody is if you're having a shit day and you feel like nothing can get worse and it just keeps getting worse and worse, watch the first two episodes and you can relate and you'll be hooked on it. How about that? Just in the simplest of all ways, if you've ever had those days, and we all had those days where, man, I missed the bus.
I'm still having those days.
Yeah, I had one today. I missed the bus. Then I got to get the late one. Then I show up to late to work. My boss tells me off, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, then I walk out, I forget my umbrella, and it starts pouring on me. I missed the when it rains, it pours. And I think when you watch the first two episodes, you can relate because we've all had those days.
You guys think that because of this series and it's going to continue in season two, that's probably going to bring more awareness and maybe a newer boom to mixed martial arts and more karate? Because karate doesn't seem to be the mixed martial arts now that everybody's talking about. Everybody's talking about Brazilian jiu-jitsu, boxing, wrestling. Do you think karate now gets a boost because of this series?
Yes, absolutely. The same way it did in the 80s. You can ask my mother the next time you see her. I tried to do karate.
When can I see her, Will? Are you going to bring her to a wrestling event one of these days, God damn it?
Yes, I will make it happen. Mother Hines will come. But then I have to go through the flaming table and she with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, of course. If it's going to be a one-time thing, you might as well make it count, right?
All right, so yeah, so we got to tell the story about the whole Cody Rhodes. And just think about this, dude. You got thrown into tax by the guy who's about to change independent wrestling forever and all in.
Yeah, period. He is the man, myth, and legend, Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare. He did a good deed by giving me a lifetime dream of getting into the ring, picked my fat ass up. And I'm sorry again that I never posted up, but...
The adrenaline. It's just the adrenaline, bro. You're a fan, right? I think
Will's biggest sin is the fact that he thinks now, hindsight being 2020, that when it happened, that he didn't sell it enough.
Yeah.
He just immediately popped up. So yeah. It's not him being posting because he doesn't know how to position his body for that, but it's more everybody jokes to him like, you didn't sell. I mean, you popped up immediately.
Yeah.
That's a big no-no.
And then he went, woo! And that's the worst part. He stuck his finger in there like, woo! And then ran around and then left the ring. Yeah.
Well, he didn't leave the ring until Cody took a tack from the back of his head, though. Yeah. But
so what do you think of this all in, man?
Yeah, I was all in at that moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, shout out to the Rhodes. But yeah. Do you think that's why he has the blonde hair? Because of Johnny Lawrence?
Who knows? Maybe he got inspired. Maybe he knew he was going to the series is gonna come out, but yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. And one thing I love to do to Will is when I go to get my hair cut every week, and I thank you for always
every 3 days,
always putting me in there and always looking out for me.
Will you look at the haircut, Jeff?
Will you look at the haircut?
Look at the haircut. Never mind.
That's when he gets moody. That's when he becomes the moody barber. That's when he's like,
you get him to that point.
I know.
I'm sorry, guys.
Calling at three in the morning. Can I get in today? God damn it. All right, I'll put you in. And then looking at the hair, like, can you look at the haircut, man? I want to go home.
But we had a great conversation. Actually, this year, Moody Barber, well, I'm calling Moody Barber.
It's Will.
I call him. We want to get his name out there, Moody Barber. Your Twitter name should be Moody Barber on Twitter. Just change it to Moody Barber.
I got to put that. I have to change Instagram to the Moody Barber?
I think you have to.
Yeah, you're going to have
to. This can be your trademark.
It's your trademark, brother.
Hey, we do got to get a trademark.
I need characters on this thing because I want to get us all our ugly mugs on video so we can do something like a YouTube series. And you got to have a character. You're already the freaking Moody Barber, so you're good.
Well, I'm letting you know, constantly bringing this up, you're making me moody.
And
you still have to figure out a character for Jeff, though, Will.
I know. I got to find something, man. And then, how about shout out to our protege, Tony, who's doing great things at WrestlePro. Who would have thought that this quiet, shy guy would be now the total arsenal Tony Paul? How about that?
I love it. Yeah. WrestlePro gave him a chance, and he's running with it.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for doing what you did for him. And continuously do. You are good friends for that.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to his match soon enough. We don't want to release anything because we don't want to get him in trouble. So
is the booking information even out?
We can't say nothing, right?
No, we can't say anything. We can just say that he's the total Arsenal Tony Paul. That we can at least do, you know. But, you know, we expect he's the future. He's the actual wrestler of the whole of the Jersey Wrecking Crew. So he's going to be, you know, we're going to put on his trunks, we're going to put our podcast logo so you can advertise us when he wrestles.
That's awesome.
It's free advertising right there.
Hey, man, what I invented was Jersey Wrecking Crew Worldwide. So it's working, you know. It's working. We actually got a guy in the ring.
You do.
Yeah, we're legit. Now, if you know,
we're legit. Now we're all in too. So
yeah. So that's awesome. Well, what?
Wait, so can I ask you guys something?
No, you can't. It's our show. We ask you the questions.
No, darn
what,
it.
What do you all want? Right, no, what do you? Some... What do you want? What do you want?
Well,
like, what do you want? What happened?
Is it true? That the trendsetter, I heard a rumor that the trendsetter might be getting into the ring at All In. Is this a rumor that I heard? I don't know.
You know, rumors are a dime dozen, Will. That's all I could say. It's, you know, you read dirt sheets, you read stuff on the internet. More than half of it's not true.
If Meltzer's reporting it, it's not true. So
of course, if Meltzer's reporting it and you're reading it from him, it's not true at all. But the one thing I have to say, Will, and I know it's cliche and I hate cliches, but you know what? Never say never. You never know.
I like that.
You know, I learned from the best, Chris Jericho. I'm not gonna reveal all my cards out there. I'm a magician.
Well, we will though be meeting Pharaoh that weekend. So if you want us to, you know, give anything to Pharaoh on your behalf, just let us know.
Yeah, I'm knitting something as of this moment. My own personal Bullet Club dog wear.
Yeah.
You know, I really hope this happens, but you know, I'm doing a test run for them. And I'm going to try to make it for Pharaoh, but I don't think it's going to get there in time. I just started learning how to knit. Anyway.
Oh, man. All right. Well, so listen, promote yourself. If someone's in the North Jersey area and wants a great cut, where can they go?
They can come to Fabulous Styles, located in East Rutherford and Rutherford, New Jersey, both located on Park Avenue. I personally am at 118 Park Ave, East Rutherford, across from a restaurant known as Cafe Capri. Right next to us is a great place called Side Scrollers. If you're in the area, come on in. Check us out. We got some great barbers, some great personalities. But don't make me moody.
Because if you saw this, what Shawn Michaels does to Marty Jannetty at the barbershop, that's what... The Moody Barber will do for you.
That actually happened. That actually happened.
Well, we'll talk about
and
that.
And Shawn Michaels went on Twitter saying it wasn't me this time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
People keep texting. Yeah, but, you know, shout out to High Spot. Shout out to Jersey Wrecking Crew. May I give a shout out to my girlfriend, Kayla Rose McDonald?
Yes, you may.
Who just graduated with a master's degree.
Congratulations.
Right, that was the one moment last week that didn't make me moody. But anyway,
that's a shout out. How about to your dog, man? I didn't know you had a dog till like maybe like 3 weeks ago. So shout out to your dog.
Well, my dog, she's right around here. Shout out to my baby girl, Lucy, Lucy Lou Loomington. When she's bad, I'm sorry to say it.
Her real name's Lucifer.
That's it. You know, it's just a name. It's an angel. But, yeah, my dog is great. She's grown so much, I'm telling you. But also my cat, Whoppy.
There you go.
You didn't know I had that right now, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway, boys. But, yeah, going all the way back, I know we got a little off topic, but Cobra Kai, check it out. It's a great show for people of then and people of now.
Awesome. Hey, listen, yeah. Will, our Moody Barber, thank you so much, man. And I'm pretty sure we got the summer movies coming up. We'll talk to you about it. But, man, you haven't been back to the show in like a year, so we have to get you back and talk about Cobra Kai.
I know, I'm kind of whack about that.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah, so we got to get you back, man. You got to make up for all the times that we want to get you on. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen, the Moody Barber, William Hines, our personal barber, and a member of the Jersey Wrecking Crew. And he's already got a gimmick because he's moody, joins us on High Spot Podcast talking Cobra Kai. Thanks a lot, brother.
Peace, brothers.
All right, Trendsetter, the Moody Barber finally returned. And, man, what a conversation.
Wasn't that moody today?
No, he was mellow. He was the mellow barber.
He was in
today.
A good mood, actually, believe it or not. Yeah. It doesn't really happen, guys. It's like a solar eclipse or like, you know, Halley's Comet. It only comes around so often, basically. But, no, it was great to talk to him about it. And it was just something he was so into. And, you know, Jeff, I don't know if you've noticed this, too. I think I talked to you about it a little bit. Generally, Jeff and I always talk about professional wrestling more than anything. But, you know, with movies now and TV series, everything seems to be like a rendition or a remake.
Yes.
What was once existing.
It's nostalgia, man.
You know,
everyone
it's like
likes...
what Rowdy Piper said, right? Old school's cool in a way, because this brought a lot of nostalgia upon it. But also, you know, if Jeff, you and I weren't fans of The Karate Kid, right? And most people who, you know, that we know sometimes don't know what The Karate Kid was. They watch Cobra Kai and just like it for what it is. So it carries a story without having to worry about having to know the history behind it. And it opens the door for a whole new audience for the franchise.
It does. And because we watched Karate Kid, and every time Karate Kid 2 comes on, we have to watch it. We are more, we can relate more.
I don't know if we watch it, we make fun of it more.
Not make fun of it. We just act the scenes out.
You keep your collection. That's like the greatest line. I mean, some people have things for sequels, Jeff. I think the sequel is the best out of the series. And that line is probably the greatest line. That and get him a body bag. Yeah, that was the two best lines in the Karate Kid franchise.
Yeah. No, I can't deny it.
Body bag and you keep for your collection.
Yeah, so definitely a good talking to the Moody Barber about Cobra Kai. And definitely, guys.
What about you? What were your favorite quotes of it?
Oh,
when you
man.
Think back of it.
Coming to the dance tonight. we always talk about that.
Uh-huh.
What else? In the first one, I like the number two more.
Yeah, but what quotes stand in your head that are like just in your mind iconic quotes? I said you keep your collection when Kumiko threw the tomatoes, and it makes you think back. Like she has a collection of tomato stained T-shirts or something like that.
Yeah, I think also too is when he gets so obnoxious when he talks about breaking the ice, and he's like, "It's not about it's here," and I'm pointing up to my brain, and it's not, you know, it's up here, not here with the muscles.
And he's a punk.
Yeah, you got a big shot. You think you can do better, right? And I think I cannot cover that.
Exactly, you're covered, Jeff. But you think, man, guys, don't be offended. It's just the way they spoke on the show. Yeah. But you think with all the teachings that Mr. Miyagi taught Daniel, you just learned the one rule. Shut your freaking mouth, kid. Because that's what gets him in trouble the most, his stupid mouth.
Yeah, I don't think we told Will. We didn't tell him about Zach Morris's trash. I think, you know.
No, like, that's a whole other episode, though.
You know it's been 25 years since Saved by the Bell?
Yeah.
25 years.
Yeah, are you trying to make me feel older?
Oh, I'm just trying to, like, emphasize. I'm in shock. 25 years.
And Tiffany Amber Thiessen has not gone old once. No, she's not aged a bit. Yeah. She's still gorgeous.
And Zach Morris was never really blonde.
Yeah, that's something that people, I mean, a lot of people got upset with.
Well,
they're like, "What? Actually, you weren't blonde? Like, you're lying to us?"
His mom was Asian?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or Filipino?
Filipino, I believe, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, but check out Zach Morris's trash, though, because those are funny skits, too.
I got you into that, too.
Well, Zach
found it on YouTube.
Morris's trash, right?
And again, just like with the whole thing we talked about with Cobra Kai and the Moody Barber, right? It gives you a different perspective because he realized Zach Morris, such a good guy, such a good friend. He's actually a jerk. He really was. He's a douche.
Yeah. So definitely, guys, it was a fun episode to record today. Thanks again to Solo Darling for joining us from Pro Wrestling Magic. Great chance doing commentary and just covering Pro Wrestling Magic. They're doing a great job over there. Of course, their next show is June 16th, so Nothing to Lose is the name of that event, so definitely go to Ridgefield Park, New Jersey for that. And the next time you will see us will be this coming Saturday and Sunday. Woo, we're going to be busy, man. For Battle Club Pro, May the Queen Reign. It is going to be an amazing card. You're going to have Tessa Blanchard, Mia Yim, Rachel Ellering, Sue Young will be there.
Jordan Grace.
Kara Hogan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to
Karen
be
Q is going to be there as well.
Karen Q is going to be there. Our buddy Helen Vale will be there too. So
Maria Manic.
It is going to be a who's who, and it'll be for the first ever Battle Club Pro Women's Champion. And now they're not called women. It will be icons. So that is what they're referred to. So I like it, man. Icons, not bad.
I enjoy it. I love what Battle Club Pro is doing. And, you know, with an event like this, which, you know, I say it time and time again, guys. I'm sorry if you get bored when I say it, though. But not a lot of firsts, do we ever get to be a part of.
No.
Very first ever Battle Club Pro
icon champion, I guess I could say, right, instead of women's champion. Exciting, and I'm just thankful. I can speak on your behalf, too, for this when I say it. We're just glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, definitely going to be a huge part of both shows. So we will get you the interviews. And again, folks, we are Pro Wrestling Magic, so we got the interview with Solo Darling on our YouTube. Make sure you like, subscribe, and get to watch that amazing interview with Solo Darling. You thought that this audio was great. Wait till you see the video of Solo Darling. She's amazing. Again, thanks for talking to her. And then 5:27, that Sunday afternoon, we will return to Ridgefield Park. We might as well stay in the building for Innovative Pro Wrestling, and that is going to be One in the Chamber. And folks, if you have not seen Shane Strickland wrestle, please make every attempt to go there. Ridgefield Park at 3 o'clock, he takes on JT Dunn. You're talking about the MLW champion against JT Dunn, a guy who is definitely the future of this business in pro wrestling. We had a chance to talk to him a long time ago at Pro Wrestling Magic. Great dude, and these two guys are going to tear the roof down. So you get to watch the best of the women's wrestlers on Saturday, and you're going to get to see an amazing main event, folks, and a main event between Shane Strickland and JT Dunn in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. Go there. Tickets are $20, general admission, so please,
you can't
dude,
beat that price.
You can't beat that.
Really, for that type of main event, you can't beat that price, guys. And ultimately, if you're lucky enough to join those events, you will be exhausted by the end of the weekend. It's funny how the weekends are usually for relaxation,
or
trying
for the
to
crew.
Calm down. But at the same time, it's going to be exhausting. But what a great way of being exhausted and to watch professional wrestling.
And, of course, we'll have interviews for you guys from the 26th and 27th, May the Queen Reign and One in the Chamber. It's going to be amazing. And you can listen to us on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. It is Brian Fritz and Michael Wiseman's baby. They are the flagship show on the network. You can listen to Between the Ropes every Wednesday. The new episodes drop. And again, you can catch them on all social media platforms, Between the Ropes, and of course on iTunes and anywhere you can find podcasts. Of course, also on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network is the Cosmic Geppetto. Get all the latest on everything pop culture. Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stu Myers and Justin Simmons are two sports guys from Austin, Texas that love talking professional wrestling. They will be all in as well, so maybe Stu can buy us a beer because you know he owes us one. And thanks for shouting us out. He actually shouted us out on his show.
Oh, we love you, Stu. So thank you so much for that. But also, we gotta get some pizza too with him.
Oh, some deep dish with Stu.
Deep dish, man. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, and you better be quick with that because Stu will he'll bite your finger off.
Gotta get pretty early in the morning to beat Jesse W. Hayward.
Stick to the gimmick with Spencer Davies and Martin Harp. They're recapping everything in NXT, so get your NXT fix there. Everything with Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, they got you covered. And, of course, you can listen to the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Networks. You've got Kicking Ass Podcast with Jesse and Andy, A Drink with Gino, A Shot of Wrestling, and Outsider's Edge with Mark Adam Haggerty. Mark, we love you. We can't wait to see you this weekend, too. So if anyone owes us beers, it's Mark Adam Haggerty. thank you so much, man. We love you, Mark. Keep doing what you're doing. We'll definitely see you this weekend.
And also, don't forget to follow us on our social media platforms out there. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, at High Spot Podcast. Visit our brand spanking new website, new design. Thanks for Jeff on that, highspotpodcast.com. And like us on Facebook, too. So that's it, Jeff. Another successful episode. These are getting easier and easier now in terms of just it's a natural, nice flow to it. So we thank you guys, the crew, for listening to the High Spot Podcast. For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I am the trendsetter, Brian Berga. Wishing you guys a goodbye till next time, because we do this all for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you, the crew.